tough night. Thank you, everybody, for coming. So tonight, I wanted to discuss the concept of a virtual minion. So I wanted to start with a story that somebody told me that he was away in Mexico and he was looking for a shul. So they told him there's one synagogue in the area, and he went to the synagogue, and he can feel free to correct me if I get any of the details wrong. He went to the synagogue, and he found there was a man there. And he started talking with the man and said, oh, you know, do you have services here? Yeah, yeah, sure, we have services. So he said, do you have a rabbi? So the guy said, yeah, I'm the rabbi. And he said, oh, really? And somehow it came out that this rabbi said, but I'm not Jewish. So the guy said, you're not Jewish? He said, no, no, it's fine, my wife is. Okay. So already he figured there was something fishy about this shul. So he said, do you have services here? He said, yeah, every Saturday we have services here. Come join us. He said, really, you get a whole crowd? You get a whole minion to come and daven here? So the guy said, well, we don't get quite such a big crowd. But what we do is we have a video, a live video feed from a different synagogue, and we watch that and join with them. To which he said, so come join us this Shabbos. Come join us this Saturday. You know, we're always looking for more people.
At least it's the guy turning on the video.
Maybe his wife turned it on.
So in the end, the person did not attend the Shabbos services. Instead, it was too far to walk, so he couldn't go. So such a thing does exist, apparently, in certain areas. So I wanted to discuss the halachic validity of such a minion. And with more and more people being on the web and less people being interested in leaving their homes, you know, it's worthwhile to try to figure out whether the virtual minion has any halachic basis. So in my opinion, what we're going to do tonight, we're going to break it down into two separate questions. There's one question as to whether a person on the other side of a computer screen can be included in the 10 to count for a minion, right? Can this, if all of us were sitting in our homes and we wanted to daven together, so can we somehow be included? Can we create a minion if none of us are in the same room but we're only connected through the computer? Or even if we have, let's say, 8 people in shul, can we somehow connect via the web to 2 people and have them be included to make the minion? That's one question, whether you can be included to make a minion through the internet. And the second question is, let's say there's already a minion in shul, and there's already 10 people in shul davening, and now I'm home and I would like to answer Kedusha, or I would like to answer Kaddish, or I would like to answer Baruch Hu. Can I answer their minion in shul? I'm watching from home, can I answer their minion in shul? So those are 2 separate questions. One, whether through the computer you can create a minion, and the second, if there's already a minion, can you take part in that minion through the computer? Yeah.
So you're specifically addressing a computer where I guess you can see the people. What about a phone?
What about a phone?
Where
right.
You're just hearing.
Okay. So we'll deal with the phone in the second part of it.
And we're not discussing Shabbat. We're talking about a daily minion.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Someone has to say Kaddish. Let's say they can't leave their house.
Right.
So maybe they can just dial into the minion.
People right.
Have on, you know,
then it's just like
So we're talking about during the week. I should clarify, because as it happens. Thank you. So we're talking about during the week, where one is halakhically allowed to use computers and electricity. So yes, during the week, does that work? Right, and we will figure out telephones and the like in the second part. I think it would be much more of a stretch to talk about making a minion through the telephone, and we'll see why. So let's start first with how does a group of people come together? What is halakhically considered being together to be a minion, right? What does it mean that there are 10 people together davening? How do we define together? So there are a few gemaras about this. which is always a good place to start. So the first one is the Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Pehei Amud Beis. The Gemara in Pesachim basically says that if you're on, it's talking about eating the Korban Pesach, but the Gemara then says V'chein L'Tfila, and whatever we say in this Mishnah about Korban Pesach is also true about Tfila. So the Gemara says that if you are in the doorway and in, on the inside, then you're considered like you're on the inside. But if you're in the doorway and out, then you're considered like you're on the outside, which would mean for davening, that if you're in the doorway, on the inside of the doorway, let's say this doorway, everybody on the inside of the doorway is considered as part of the minyan. We're somehow connected. And everybody on the other side of the doorway is considered in a different room, and we cannot connect together to create a minyan. There's another Gemara that talks about when you have a very large room and a small room, that somehow the large room, since they're open, it seems like they're open one to the other, maybe more similar to this because we're pretty open here. So let's say the den is the large room, the dining room is the smaller room. So if there are 9 people in the big room and 1 person in the small room, we're a minyan. We can be counted as a minyan because the main part is in the main room and the small room is kind of like swallowed up into the main room. But if there are 9 people in the small room and 1 person in the big room, you can't connect that for a minyan because the big room is not nigrar after the small room. Meaning the big room, you can't just say it's like part of the small room, so we go after the big room. Right, that's how we would connect it. So
specifically
even
by size, it has to do with the size.
So it
of the
sounds
room.
Like the Gemara is talking about big and small. Tisha b'gedola v'yachid b'ktana. If you have 9 in a big room and 1 in the small room, mitzdarfin, they are considered together for the minyan. Tisha b'ktana. But if you have 9 in the small room, v'echad b'gedola, and 1 in the big room, ain mitzdarfin. So the Gemara uses the words of gedola k'tana. This is the Gemara in Erevin on Sadik Beis Amud Beis. Those are 2 Gemaras. So those sound pretty straightforward, right? It sounds like you have to be, at least, if you have one, you have to be in the same room, or at least in the main part of the room, right, the bigger part of the room. Where it gets tricky is there's another Gemara, a third Gemara. And that's the Gemara in Sotan, Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, and the Gemara is asking about Birkas Kohanim. It's all sugya about Birkas Kohanim, about Duchening, and the Gemara wants to know whether different things are considered a hefsek. Do they stop the bracha of the Kohen? If there's something in between me and the Kohen, is the bracha on me or not? So the Gemara asks, what if there's a wall in between the Kohanim? So the first the Gemara talks about being behind the Kohanim, so you can't be behind the Kohanim. You have to be in front of the Kohanim. So the Gemara says, what if there's a wall in between the Kohanim and you? Let's say I'm the Kohanim, so there's a wall in front of me, and then everybody's behind the wall. So is my bracha, the Kohen's bracha, going on you? Are all of you being blessed? So the Gemara explains, quotes the statement of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, who says that even a mechitza shel barzel, even if there was a wall of steel, eina mafsekes bein Yisrael la'avim shevashamayim, it is even a wall of steel does not create a barrier. It does not create a break between Hashem and the Jewish people. And that is, he applies that to davening. Now when it comes to davening, even if there's a wall separating us, we can still, somehow we're connected. So the question is, what do you do with that statement of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, that even if there's a wall separating us, somehow when it comes to tefillah, we can still connect together. So if the Kohen is on one side of the wall, his bracha still works for everybody behind the wall, even though they're in different rooms. So how does that work with the other Gemaras that we said basically say that everybody has to be in the same room? Yeah.
Well, if you wanted to, I don't know what the answer is, but if you wanted to come up with a resolution, you could say that the large room, the small room, we're talking about a large space where you can't hear from one side to the other. And if I'm in the small room, it's still considered, even though I can't hear, I'm still connected, I'm still part of the larger room's minyan. But here, with the wall, you'd say, well, there's a physical separation, but since I can still hear, mm-hmm. then it's considered part of mm-hmm. the minyan.
Okay. It could be. So, no, there could be. There's 2 opinions. Rashi says one opinion, but Tosus is the main opinion here because it seems like that's what the Shulchan Aruch then goes on to quote. Tosus says that when Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is not talking about how do you create a minyan, right? When Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says that a wall of steel cannot create a barrier between people when it comes to davening, he's not talking about forming a minyan. What he's talking about is, if there is a minyan somewhere and I hear them, can I answer? Right? Similar to what you were saying. If so, according to Rabbi Shuv and Levi, what Tosfos explains is, certainly when it comes to including people in the minyan, how do you get to 10? So then the Gemara is in Sachem, the Gemara in Erevin, it has to be in one room, from the doorway and in. Everybody has to be together. Or it has to be in, the majority has to be in the bigger part of the room than the smaller part of the room. But when it comes to, once I have a minyan somewhere, I have a minyan already in this room, and I have somebody outside, here's Kaddish or Kedusha from this room, where I have a minyan already, they can answer whatever they hear from this minyan. Right, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is talking about something different. He's talking about answering a davar shebekdusha, or answering amen, to something that's going on in a minyan that's already created. The other gemaras are talking about creating a minyan. To create a minyan, everybody needs to be connected, it seems like, in the same place, in the same room, right? Something like that. When it comes to answering for a minyan, it seems like there's more leeway, that as long as you're hearing it, even if you're on the other side of a wall, you can still answer for the minion. Not to create the minion. Oh, good, yes. Well, sorry, say it again? Okay, so right. So we'll see that later. There's a Gemara that talks about a big shul in Alexandria, in Egypt, that they had this huge shul, and it was so big that the people could not hear the brachas that the chazan was making in the front of the shul. They couldn't hear it in the back. So what they would do is they would pick up the flags to tell people when to say amen. So yeah, so that is, so you see from there also, it's another example, the same idea, that even if, well, I'm not sure what we'll see from there about this, but we'll see later, we'll deal with that a little bit when it comes to, you know, long distance answering.
This is all related to the microphone question.
What do you
whether
mean?
You can use a microphone.
Yes. Yes, yeah, which we'll get to. The microphone, we'll have the microphone discussion in the second part about whether just answering, not about creating the minyan. But just, this is about creating a minyan. So what we're basically saying is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is not talking about creating a minyan. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who says that this wall of steel cannot act as a barrier between people davening, he's talking about the second part of the shir, about answering. When it comes to creating a minyan, the first part of the shir, those are the first two gemaras. So the Shulchan Aruch passes like Tosos, and he adds that let's say you have five people in one room, five people in the other room, and the chazan in the doorway. Right? You could see this happening in like an office building or something. You have five people on the inside, the chazan standing in the doorway, and you have five people on the other side. So are they a minyan? So the Shulchan Aruch passes, yes. Because the chazan standing in the middle connects everybody. Then the Shulchan Aruch goes one step further and says, it's a machlokas, seems like a machlokas Rishonim, but the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that if you have, as long as you can see, let's say you have eight people in one room and two people outside the doorway in the hallway, but you can see them, at least some of the people inside can see them, they also can be included in a minyan. So as long as you can see the people in the other room, for example, let's say there's a mechitza. Right, if there's a mechitza, so you can see the person through the mechitza. So if there's a mechitza, they're on the other side of the mechitza, can they be counted in a minyan? So the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah say, yes, as long as you can see them, they should be able to be counted in a minyan. But the Mishnah Berurah adds that l'chatchila, it's better if everybody is not only, can you see them, but you're actually all in the same room. But if you can't all be in the same room, or it happens that not everybody's in the same room, as long as you can see them, somebody from the minyan can see this person in the hallway, or somebody from the minyan can see the person in behind the mechitza, they can all be connected, they can all be added together to create a minyan. So basically what the Shulchan Aruch says is you have to all be in the same room together, or at least be able to see each other if you're in two separate rooms.
You mean most of the minyan in the plate in the same room? In the other room, like a big room and a small room?
Is it about me in a...
Hold on. I don't think it matters. I think as long as you see each other, the Mishavur's word is that mare panim, as long as you can see each other, it creates a minyan. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, a balcony would be the same. You could see each other. again, it's better that everybody's not on the same level together in the same room. But let's say in shul, right? Let's say Sunday morning, there are 9 people downstairs, and there's one person who snuck into the balcony upstairs in the women's section and wants to dive in from up there. Right, one guy. So is that a minion? So according to this, yeah, because you can see them. Is it the best idea? Maybe not. But certainly, according to the Shulchan Aruch, they can be counted together.
If you can't see them, you can't do it.
Right. So for example, I saw a very interesting question. Let's say there's a one-way mirror. A one-way mirror. Right? So the people on the inside of the room have a mirror, and the guy on the outside can see in. So are they? Can they be connected? Right? Let's say you have 8 people in shul, and there's a window in the shul that's a mirror, but from the outside of shul, people can see in through the mirror. It's a one-way mirror, so they can see in. And there are 2 guys standing out there on the other side of the mirror. So they can see everybody inside, but the 8 guys on the inside can't see the 2 guys on the outside. So does that count? So it seems like not, right? The poskim seems to say not, because people need to be able to see each other.
On the shul.
Right. So, it seems from here, applying this now to a virtual minion, I would say, and it seems from here, that you can't count somebody on the other side of a computer screen as part of a minion, because they're not there, right? Because you need to be in the same place. And even if it's not in the same room, you need to be somewhere where you can see the person. So you'll say to me, but you can see them, right? I'm looking at you on Skype. What do you mean I can't see you?
It's not Marapanam. You're not.
So, right. So I think the answer to that is, I didn't see this discussed, but I think the answer to that is that if I took a picture, a still picture, and put it on a chair in shul, nobody would say, oh, look, we can count them for a minion, right? So just because it's a live picture of this guy on the other side of the computer, I don't think that we would assume that that's actually Mara Punim, that would actually be considered like seeing him. So I think, So I think based on this, so you can't create a minion by people on a computer. And I don't think you could, even if you have a number of people in shul, you can't have somebody call into the shul, even with a computer screen, to be included to make the minion, right? So I think that's pretty clear, 100%, but I'm pretty sure that's clear. I should just say, some of the Mar Mikolas that I got tonight was from an article that I saw online, written by Rabbi Daniel Feldman, who was a rabbi in YU. So I saw some of the Mar Mikolas I got from an article that he wrote. So there's one other potential issue that we should just keep in mind as we move forward, and that is that the Shulchan Aruch writes that if there is feces or avodah zarah in between people, that kind of breaks the minyan. Meaning if there was somehow, let's say there was an avodah zarah between 2 people staying next to each other, so they can't be connected for a minyan. Right, that is an opinion in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not clear that everybody agrees, and the Vilna Gaon seems to say not only does he not agree, but he says that if you can't see it, then it also would not break up the minyan, which matters for the discussion we're about to have, which is, can somebody at home say Kaddish or answer Kaddish or answer Kedusha from a minyan that's going on in shul if they can hear it via telephone or via a computer, right? Can I watch the minyan in shul and answer Baruch Hu and answer Kedusha and answer Kaddish or even answer Amen by listening on a computer or by listening on the telephone?
Once there's already a bona fide minyan
in
shul.
So now can the guy listening on the other end of the telephone or the computer, can he answer Kedusha with him? Right? Do I stand up if I'm watching the minyan in shul? Do I stand up and say kadosh kadosh when they're up to kedusha?
I mean, also I listen like sometimes to Torah, so phone or computer. When it's over, someone says kaddish. I always wonder, do I have to answer?
Is that live or is that
live?
Live.
I know those are recorded. What if you're watching the recording?
Are they recorded?
No, I know if it's a recording. I don't.
Right. If you're recorded, yeah, then everybody agrees.
But I
wonder
if it's live. What I
if it's live, good. So now
I know I don't have the topic.
Let's figure out what we do.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Exactly. Part 2. Okay. So the question is when, and this, so there are basically three questions here. Right, there are three areas basically that we'll have to answer. One, do I answer Amen? Right, if I'm listening on a telephone or it's computer screen to a minyan, do I answer Amen to brachos? Can I fulfill mitzvos through listening on a telephone, like Megillah or like Havdalah? Can I fulfill those obligations by listening on a telephone or a computer? And three, do I say a davar shebikdusha? Right, we know a davar shebikdusha is something that requires a minyan of people. It requires 10 men to be davening together. So if I'm in my home listening on a computer or listening on a telephone and they're saying the davar shebikdusha in shul, like kedusha or like kaddish or like barchu, so can I answer with them? Right? And I think those are three distinct areas that we need to figure out. And the halachas might be different for each one. So the first opinion is that of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who had a very clear understanding of the way all the modern electricity works, it seems, based on his close relationship with some who were very involved in these areas. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, bless you, in a tshuva, basically goes through and explains to you how a microphone works. Now, I don't know anything about it, but it sounds good to me, the way he explains it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. But the way he basically explains it works is that by I speak into the microphone, it creates the sound waves, which then create the vibrations on a piece of something,
diaphragm
something, which then creates the sound, which sounds very similar to my voice, if not exactly like my voice.
Well, it converts into a current.
Creates into, right.
A current, and then,
which is the wave,
then
right?
It amplifies. In other words, basically you can, you know, you take circuits and whatever it is, and you can make that current, which is, let's say, a tiny bit of current, make it larger, and then you could then have reversed it instead of to take the current and make it into vibrate a, like some sort of diaphragm, whatever.
Okay. So I made it, oversimplified it.
Well, you have
a little bit.
It gets converted to electrical current. And the current gets amplified, gets built up higher.
Uh-huh.
So it's a stronger current. You know, when you talk, it creates a tiny current.
And it gets bigger and bigger.
And then to, circuits, they amplify it.
Uh-huh. Which makes the louder noise.
Louder noise.
I see.
When it comes out the other side.
Okay. Good. So, okay. So basically, what Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says is that the sound that you're hearing on the other side of what comes out of the microphone is not really my voice. Right? I speak into the microphone, but what comes out of the microphone is not my voice. It's the result of currents and greater currents and vibrations on this device, which then amplify my voice. But it's not actually my voice. It's a reproduction of my voice. So he says, how could it be then that you would think that you should answer Amen to something that you heard from a bunch of electric currents, right? You're not hearing from the person, right? And he says, how could it be that you would think that you can fulfill an obligation of, let's say, Megillah? So the halacha is that in order to fulfill my obligation of listening to the Megillah, I need to hear it from somebody who is obligated in the mitzvah of Megillah. Right, so you have the guy, the Baal Koreh, who is the person reading the Megillah. So he's obligated in the mitzvah of Megillah, so he can read the Megillah by me listening to his reading of the Megillah. I'm fulfilling my obligation of Kriyas HaMegillah. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says this microphone, this speaker, that's not a bar chiyuva. Right, the speaker is not obligated in the mitzvah of Megillah. So you're not hearing the person speaking into the microphone's voice. You're hearing the speaker, you're hearing the currents, but that's not somebody who's obligated in the mitzvah. And therefore, the Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes that you cannot fulfill your obligations through listening on a telephone or a microphone, and he doesn't even think you should say Amen on the other side of the line. So if you're watching a shul, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, you're watching a minyan take place in a shul, and they're saying Kaddish, they're saying Kedusha, you can't take part, because there's nothing you can do. You're not hearing their voices. You're not really hearing whatever they're saying. You're hearing the reproduction through the currents and the pictures and whatever you're seeing or hearing. But that's not actually hearing from somebody. And he goes as far as to say, I think I saw somewhere in his tshuva, he says that I feel terrible to say, but he says based on this logic, somebody with a hearing aid it might be hard to explain how they can fulfill their obligations of hearing. So he, you know, you have to answer. You have to explain how much you need the hearing aid, what exactly the hearing aid is doing. Is it really just an amplification of the sound, or is it a reproduction? Right? It wouldn't matter if it's an amplification or a reproduction. If it's a reproduction, so then that wouldn't work.
What if it flips? I'm completely deaf. I can see the chazan making a bracha.
You're not hearing it.
I'm not hearing it, but I know that there's... I'm hearing it in my own sense. I'm hearing it with other senses.
Mm-hmm.
I could read lips. I could have a whole conversation like that.
You also have to answer a question of what is hearing. Like
It's converting to digital. But he's hearing it. It's the same type of thing as if it's being converted to current.
But your ear does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It converts it to current and just eventually... and gets passed into neurons into the brain.
Right.
So that they were able to do
that at this
point.
That's a great point. Your brain's doing the conversion.
Oh, good. So yes, good, good. The brain's doing the conversion, right? Okay, good. So we'll get there. We'll jump to there. The other extreme is that of the Mincha Salazar, who was the Munkacher Rebbe. And the Chazon Ish might have held this. He wasn't sure, but he said it was not clear to him. And others, Rav Pesach Frank also writes about this in the Mikrai Kodesh about this. So they are of the opinion that it is considered hearing the voice of the person, because the same way, as long as it's happening immediately, so the same way, if when I speak, you hear the wave travels faster than that, but travels quickly to your ear and then interpreted by your brain. So they say the same thing's happening here. It's the sound wave is traveling, it's being interpreted and finally gets to your ear. But since it's happening quickly, very quickly, probably as quickly as
now if you're on the radio, let's say there's a 3-second delay.
Okay, so right, the delay might be a problem. But at least he was dealing with a microphone.
Uh-huh.
He said, so with a microphone, it's happening immediately. It's basically the same idea, and my brain is also doing interpreting of the sound waves. So what's the difference? And he says it's also clearly connected to my voice, because when I stop speaking, it stops making noise. So you see that there is a direct correlation between my speaking and this microphone producing voice, producing noise. And therefore they were of the opinion that you can fulfill chiyuvim even on the telephone. The Mincha Salazar talked about a telephone. The Chazon Ish is only talking about a microphone. But, you know, it's pretty quick. I mean, I think telephone, I don't know how quickly they work, but I assume they work pretty quickly. Right? Usually if there's a good connection, it works pretty quickly. Almost as quickly as if we were standing next to each other. So they are of the opinion that you are connected, that you can certainly answer amen to a bracha that you hear. You can be yotze your chiyuv, which means with a microphone, you can be yotze your chiyuv. The only thing that's not clear to me, according to them, is because they didn't say it explicitly, is what about a davar shebikdusha? Right? What about kaddish and kedusha and barchu? Right? If I'm watching a minyan, or I'm listening on the telephone, and I hear somebody say Kaddish, or I hear somebody say Kedusha, or I hear somebody say Barchu, so should I answer? Right? So what do you think?
I would say no, because you're not a part of the minyan.
Right. So that's what I thought also.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe not, because these things that are Davar Shebikdusha, they require 10 men to be together, and then, because the Shechina is there with the 10 men, so you can say these special prayers, right? Kedusha, Barchu. But if you're not there, even if they're saying it over there, and you hear them saying it, I thought it might be hard to say that I can also answer Barchu, because they're saying it over there, I'm over here. I hear them, right? And it's considered like me listening to the Chazan. I can be Yotze Megillah like this. I could maybe be Yotze if I heard the shofar in this fashion, in a way that was mutter to do on Yontif. And I can listen to Havdalah like this. I can say amen to all of their brachas in Shmona Esrei. Right, in the hearing, right, yes. So, but can you say Barchu? So Binyamin doesn't think so. I also thought not. But
you said a couple weeks ago that the purpose of the Davar Shebikdusha was Kiddush Hashem.
Right.
So if you hear it, then wouldn't there be an obligation to join in as well for the proclamation of Kiddush Hashem? Because there is a minyan anyway, so the Davar Shebikdusha is not... know, it's not improper, and if I hear it, I should join you
good.
And join the proclamation.
So, right. The other side is that once they're saying it there, right, once it's being said, so then maybe I can join in with them, right? Who cares how far away I am? I said before that if somebody was walking by the house and we were saying Kaddish or we were saying Baruch Hu, and he's walking by the house, he can answer, because like Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, even if there is a wall of steel separating these people who are davening, or certainly the people, the minyan, and the person outside, he can still answer their davar shebekdusha. He can still answer their Baruch Hu and their kedusha, right? Because this, it's tefillah. It's above physical walls. And therefore, he can answer whatever he hears. So who cares how far away I am? I'm hearing it. Once you establish that we are, that this group of rabbis are of the opinion that hearing a voice through a computer or hearing a voice through a telephone is considered hearing the voice of that person or of that group, so who cares how far away you are? You're hearing the voice. And therefore, since they're saying Kedusha over there, I can join in. Since I would have to stand up in my house and say Kadosh, Kadosh together with them. Because they're saying it. They have the Shechina over there, and I'm hearing it. So I can jump on their train and join in with them. Right? So that's, I'm not sure. I didn't see this group of rabbis explain it. The reason why, I first thought like Binyamin, but then I saw that Rav Avadya Yosef, who was the third opinion, so Rav Avadya Yosef is... So Rav Avadya Yosef is a mixture between the two opinions. He says that you cannot fulfill a mitzvah through listening on a microphone or through a computer. He's not dealing with a computer, but you can answer Amen, and you can answer a Davar Shebekdusha. Why? So he explains like this. He says that when it comes to fulfilling an obligation, so fulfilling an obligation, like I explained before, you need to hear directly from somebody who is obligated. So I can't fulfill my obligation of listening to the Megillah by listening to a telephone, right? Because it's not really the voice of the person saying the Megillah, it's the reproduction of the voice, or Avadi Yosef believes. And therefore, since it's a reproduction of the voice of the person on the other side of the line, on the other side of the computer, on the other side of the telephone, so when I'm listening, I'm not hearing it directly from somebody who is obligated in the mitzvah, but rather, I'm hearing it from this machine, which is not obligated in the mitzvah. So to fulfill an obligation, I need to hear it directly from somebody who is obligated in the mitzvah, and Rav Avadya Yosef is of the opinion, like Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that hearing through the telephone or hearing through the computer is not hearing directly from the person. But, right, that's the one side. So fulfilling obligations, he says, does not work through a computer. But answering Amen, he says, does. And he says even a Davar Shebekdusha also works through a telephone or a computer. Why? So for the same svara. That once there's a minyan over there, and there's the Shechina over there, and they're saying a Davar Shebekdusha, so I can also include myself and answer with them. He doesn't exactly say this explicitly, but I think he would say that, because he was asked the following question. He was asked, let's say I was listening on the radio to a live broadcast of people saying Slichos in Shul. And, you know, for Sfardim, they say Slichos the entire month of Elul. So it's a much, much bigger tircha for them to go every single night in Elul to shul. So I guess they had a broadcast of it on the radio so that people, if it's too hard for them one night to get to shul, they can do it from home. So he was asked, can I answer Amen to their Kaddish or their Brachos? And can I answer the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim? Right? So the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'chanun, can only be said together with a minyan. So Rav Avadya Yosef said,
unless
you use the trup. But Rav Avadya Yosef doesn't mention using the trup. Rav Avadya Yosef says, yes, you can say it along with them. Because even though I am of the opinion that if you hear the Megillah through the telephone, you're not Yotze. Because you need to hear it directly from somebody who's obligated in the mitzvah, and the telephone is not obligated in the mitzvah. But when it comes to a davar, when it comes to the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim, and I think the same would be true about a Davar Shemekdusha, like Baruch or Kedusha, so he says, since they're over there davening, since they're over there with the Shechina, with a minion of people davening, so if you hear them, you can answer with them. And therefore, he kind of is a mixture of the two opinions. On the one hand, he says, when it comes to obligations, fulfilling obligations, you should not, you cannot fulfill your obligations through the microphone, telephone, computer. But when it comes to answering along with them, not fulfilling an obligation, but just answering with them, like answering Kedusha or answering Baruch Hu, that he says you can do, I think. And certainly answering Amen. Now, Rav Avi Yosef does add one twist. He says, even when it comes to, I think, even when it comes to a fulfilling your obligation, if you are sitting close enough to the guy, let's say the guy laying the Megillah, if you're sitting close enough that you would be able to hear without the Megillah, without the microphone, so Rav Avi Yosef says, you would be Yotze. Right? Because if you took away the microphone, you would be able to hear him. So if you put the microphone there, you're in no worse position. Even though you're only hearing the loud voice from the microphone, still, if the microphone wasn't there and you could hear him, you're sitting in a seat that you'd be able to hear him, so then even with the microphone, you still fulfill your obligation. So the only people who cannot fulfill their obligation, according to Rav Avi Yosef, with the microphone, are the people who are sitting so far away that they would not be able to hear this person without the microphone. Yeah.
So here's my question. If you're in a car accident in Cimarron, New Mexico, and wind up in a hospital, and you're the only Jew in that town, and it winds up that the next few days, it's Purim, and you have to hear the Megillah, it's better not to hear it at all, or to Skype or something and hear it.
Right. So that's a good question. So there are opinions who say that certainly you can listen through a telephone or through the Skype. So I would say that you should listen, because there are some who say that it is valid. And, maybe to read along with the guy reading or something like that, to be this way you're Yotze according to the people who say that you can't use the microphone, the telephone, so you're reading it. Right? But according to a big group of rabbis, they say no, even through the telephone you can fulfill your obligations, so then that would be a good idea too. Meaning, so yeah, you'd be able to do that. Certainly everybody would agree that it's better than nothing, because you're not losing anything by doing that. Right? There's a tshuva that I saw quoted from the Yashiv Yitzchak, who says that there was a man in the hospital and he was going to be very upset that he wasn't going to be able to go to Minyan. So they told him, the Yashiv Yitzchak answered, so tell him to listen to the minion on the telephone, because even though I don't think you could really do anything through a telephone, at least to listen, he can answer Amen. Meaning, it's something. It's better than, even according to those who think that it's not the best way to do it, or you're not really doing it, it's still something, because it's still...
Of course it's not the optimal.
It sounds like Rav Avi Yosef's answer.
He's saying he could say Amen.
Right, it could be. Maybe he has his opinion.
It either could be that he's just saying it, like,
right,
feel better, and it's like,
yeah,
for a hole, you can do whatever you
right,
want.
Right, it could be.
Or he
agrees with Rav Avi Yosef. Right. Yeah.
So two questions. One is, when you hear Havdalah, is that an obligation that you have to fulfill? Like, where would that fall?
Probably, yeah. Uh-huh. I think so.
So according to Rav Avi Yosef, you wouldn't be able to hear Havdalah over the phone, but according to the most lenient opinions, then you might be able to.
Yes.
That's fine.
And so according to the most lenient opinions, where you can participate in Davar Shebikdusha, what happens if the person has to say Kaddish? Would they be able
good
to
question.
Listen to them?
Good question. So Binyamin's question is that, if there's a minion in shul, can the guy on the other side of the telephone who's at home, can he say Kaddish and have everybody else in shul answer? Right. Probably not. Because it's when they're doing it, I can kind of jump on their back.
Would it make a difference if someone in shul saying Kaddish at the same time?
At the same time? I don't know. See, what I understood is that, right, you need the minion to allow the Davar Shebikdusha to be said, and then I can answer. Because since it's being said, I can answer. It's like I'm hearing it. right? But they're not hearing me, so their answering in shul is not answering my kaddish at home. Unless they're hearing me.
But even if they're hearing
me, they're not. No, but it's not that. For Davarish Mikdusha, there needs to be a minion.
So there is a minion.
Well, there's a minion.
Right.
So I'm hearing them, so I can answer their minion. So their shechina, the shechina is there, which allows them to say Davarish Mikdusha. Right? So now I can answer with them because I'm hearing from all the way over there. But.
Well, I don't know enough about Kaddish. Well, let's say, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know enough about Kaddish. You're not leading the minion. You're not the chazan when you say Kaddish.
Right.
You're a part of it. And,
right.
And there could be 10 people, and you're not even going to have 10 people, let's say, necessarily saying Amen, right? We said
right.
That was still valid. So,
right.
So you have a minion there. If you're going to accept the opinion that when I hear them, that's an exact reproduction, and it's like I'm listening to it right through a wall, and I could say Amen at the same time, and I could say Baruch Hu and Kedusha, then they're hearing an exact reproduction of me.
Right.
At the
same time. I hear what you're saying. I just think that I can answer their things, meaning I can answer their Davar Shebekedusha through the wall, but I'm not sure that the guy on the outside of the wall by himself can have the other people answering his
well, the bottom line is, if you're selling Elias and I make a bid from home, are they allowed to accept my bid? That would be
they can definitely accept your bid, but I'm not sure they'd give you the Elias.
You know, depends how high it is.
Yeah, depends how quickly you can get the check in.
Right.
Talk to the treasurer.
You know, Rabbi, Havdalah is really a totally different thing, because Havdalah involves all the senses, where
awesome.
Tefillah
that's
doesn't.
Right.
I mean, how could you smell the you know, or feel the heat of the candle, or taste the wine, you know?
You could have a candle and you have some in your house.
Right, you could, but you can also make Havdalah alone. You don't need anybody to make Havdalah.
If you're a woman and you're alone, if you're elderly.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I think the problem is really, you know, I feel for a lot of homebound people or people who are, you know, sadly maybe, you know, in hospice and things and can't get to other people and other people can't get to them.
Right.
And
so this is
they should, you know,
a possible way out.
How do we hold? How does the majority of people? Well,
apparently we hold that the microphones are good.
Right, but if you turned off the microphone, I think it's a small enough room that you still hear something, even with the kids making.
You still hear
the chazan doing something.
Uh-huh.
Well,
I think you can rely on that.
Had a very low
But that's in one room, because they see each other. Meaning, because you see each other. So there you have seeing each other. Meaning, if you see each other, that's a whole different level of connection.
No, that could be
whispering. Okay, just. There are a few Gemaras that each of these opinions have to deal with. I'll just mention the Gemaras. We don't have time to go into all of the answers to the questions, but just that we should be aware that there are questions from Gemaras on some of these opinions, which is they didn't just form these opinions out of nowhere. They based them on the Gemaras. So one of the Gemaras that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach needs to answer, and maybe Rav Adji Yosef also, is that Gemara that was mentioned earlier about what in this big shul in Alexandria. And this big shul in Alexandria, they had this shliach tzibur all the way in the front of the shul. And it was such a big shul that the people in the back couldn't hear when he finished the bracha. It seemed like they knew which bracha he was up to, but they couldn't hear him finishing the bracha. So the chazan, I think the chazan, the Gemara says, would hold up a flag when he finished his bracha, and everybody would know to say Amen, even the people all the way in the back.
Well, maybe that works really well for the obvious thing. They would say, look, the flag of voice is just like a flag.
Right, and therefore you say Amen. Right, so for Rav Adji Yosef it's not such a problem because he said that through the microphone, through the telephone, you can say Amen, right? But according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, you need to answer it. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he explains that when you are in the same room, then you can answer Amen to a bracha even if you're hearing it through a microphone, right? So let's say, for example, you're at a wedding, right? And they're doing the Sheva brachas under the chuppah through with a microphone. So can you answer Amen to those brachas? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach explains, even though I am of the opinion that you should answer Amen to brachas that you hear through a telephone, But if you're in the same room, physically you're in the same room, then you can answer amen to these brachos that you're hearing through the microphone. Based on this Gemara, he says, you see, that to some degree, even if you, as long as you know what's going on almost, you know it's happening in front, right, because he picks up his flag, so you can then answer amen. He doesn't say you can fulfill your obligation, right? He doesn't think that the guy in front of the shul is saying, is reading the Megillah for everybody, and he held up the flag to say Haman, right? That's not what was going on. Just, he was saying a bracha, and he was telling them what to say amen. So amen, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach is willing to say that as long as you're in the same room, if, even if you're hearing it through a microphone, you can answer amen. So at Shema Brachas, you don't have to, at a wedding, next time you go to a wedding, you can answer amen. Even according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach.
I'm sure those people in the shul thought they were a part of the davening. You know, not
they are.
Standing in the back row, I'm only filling my mitzvah to say amen, but I can't really say davar for Shusha because I'm not really hearing the chazan. I mean, it seems to be that was the way.
But they're all hearing each other, maybe.
Yeah. What are you hearing? You're not hearing. You're hearing someone in front of you say baruch
hu. I hear. I don't know.
Well, I had heard that if you hear, you're at a shul, the chazan says baruch hu, you don't hear a thing, but you hear everybody else responding, you should respond as well. You haven't heard anything. I had heard that a long time ago. So if you walk into shul, it's Matzai Shabbos, they're starting Maariv, the chazan said baruch hu, you didn't hear it, but you see everybody responding, you should respond as well.
I'm not sure. This is what I left here. I have to look into. It's on top of my page. Can't hear the chazan.
Have you gone to the Sima shops in MSG?
No.
They do Mincha Maariv. One guy in the middle with a microphone. Everyone is saying Amen and Baruch Hu and everything, and there's no, you know, argument about how this is not valid.
Shlomo Orbach is from Israel.
No, not like that. That's what I was going to say. They don't have 1 minute from Mars.
I'm saying,
in the same room, they only answering Amen. No, but he's saying they're also answering Davar
Shebekdusha.
No, but
you're also answering Shebekdusha. They only went to the Chazan for the MSG, for the other place, and for the satellite shul.
For what, though?
For Mincha Maariv.
Yeah? Really?
That I don't know about. I'm talking about it within MSG.
Yeah.
You're
good
definitely
question.
Not hearing a
Chazan. Yeah. It's a good question. Yeah. So maybe they're relying on the Mincha Salazar and the Chazanish, and maybe Rav Vaji Yosef also.
It's one of the zeros computers.
Maybe not Rav Vaji Yosef. Yeah, good question. Yeah. Maybe Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach would say the same about the Davar Shebekdusha. I'm not sure. Again, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach also doesn't talk about the Davar Shebekdusha. Maybe he would say the same thing. Once you have a minion somewhere, even if you're hearing a reproduction of that sound, you can, you know, answer Kedusha with that minion. I wouldn't have thought he would say that. Yes, but he says for Amen. In his tshuva, he explains that Gemara as dealing with Amen.
You have to have a roof. I mean, let's say you're in a big.
Good question.
What
if you're outside?
Stadium.
Right. If you're outside, that's a big question that they talk about. How do you what's considered a room? How do people add up together when you're davening outside? Let's say at the Kotel.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you have 10 different minyanim going on.
Madison Square Garden.
Right, in the Sima Madison Square Garden. If you have a Kotel, you have like 10 different minyanim going on in the same place. So who's part of what minyan? Let's say you have 9 around one shulchan and 9 around one shulchan and one guy standing in the middle. Can he be a tent for both minyanim? So they say no, obviously. You can only be part of one minyan.
Yeah.
But that's a question. It's a question. You have to be saying, you know.
Is there certain things in Mark? You have many of students, like 600,000 people, so say a certain thing. How do they even hear each other?
Who says they have to hear each other? Okay. Everybody says a bracha. You know, they have to hear each other. Okay, so now just one last Gemara that the leaning opinion who says that hearing through a microphone, telephone, computer would allow you to fulfill an obligation and maybe say davar shebekdusha. There is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says that if somebody blows a shofar into a pit and you hear if you hear the sound of the shofar, you're yotze, you fulfill your obligation. But if you hear the echo of the shofar, you're not yotze. So an echo is no worse than a microphone, right? It's also, what?
Probably better.
So going back to
and even so, it's not good.
So like I said, we said last week, the breakaway minute. Is it better to have a breakaway minute so we can hear each other, or is it better to have them all together?
Right, okay. That's one way to look at it, yeah. But then I told you last week, to answer, you have to speak to your local halakhic authority, yeah. So I can't. I don't answer the question about that.
What's the problem with the echo? Because it's delayed.
So good. So what's the problem with the echo?
Delayed.
Right. Meaning it sounds like the echo is a secondary sound.
Delayed.
It's like a secondary sound. So the same way
that
the microphone.
Same sound wave, though. It's just bounce.
Same sound. Right.
If you were back, if you were in a really nice, well-designed
like
acoustic room.
Yeah.
No microphone. You're hearing things. It might be a slightly delay as it bounces. The sound waves
right.
are bouncing back and forth before it hits you.
Right. So there's basically. Do it quickly. There are three ways out of this Gemara.
Of course.
One, yeah, of course. One way. I don't know why it's always three.
It's a Jewish way.
What? It's a Jewish way, yeah. I think it's that's like everybody's satisfied with three, including myself.
Well, one extreme, the other extreme, the
right.
other part of it.
Exactly. Exactly. Somebody's got to be in the middle. But these are all three answers to one question. So how did they get out of that Gemara? It sounds from that Gemara that an echo would be no good. So then a microphone also shouldn't be there. So the first answer is a delay. That over there there's a delay, as opposed to when you're dealing with a microphone or a computer or a telephone, it's more instant. So maybe the echo is not good because of the delay. It shows that there's more of a disconnect between the source of the sound and the sound that you're hearing, so therefore maybe that's why that's not valid. The second is that maybe an echo mixes together with other noises, as opposed to a microphone or a telephone, which is more, I don't know, more pure voice. I'm not sure. I'm not sure why that would be. And the third answer, which is, okay, third answer, they're all good answers. So the third answer, which is offered by Rav Kook, so Rav Kook writes that maybe that's specific to shofar. Because shofar, the halacha is, you have to hear the kol shofar. You have to hear the sound of the shofar. So when it comes to shofar specifically, there's more room to be machmir, to be stringent, and to say, I need to hear a pure sound of the shofar directly from the shofar. But when it comes to other things, you don't need to hear the sound of the Megillah from a, right? You don't need to have my voice when I'm saying Megillah. You don't have to hear my voice when I say a bracha. There is a specific halacha that you need to hear the kol shofar, the sound of the shofar. And therefore, maybe specifically by the shofar, there's a requirement to hear it directly and without anything in between. But so a shofar with an echo or through a microphone wouldn't be good, but anything else, according to those opinions, still would be.
Beyond the fact, you think about it, a shofar has all these details of how large it has to be, if it can't be cracked, whatever it is, but you're hearing the shofar sound, unadulterated, coming out pure shofar sound, and the shofar has to be certain requirements, so once you change that.
Right.
You know.
Right. Then it's not. Right. Halacha, you have to hear the kol shofar. You have to hear it directly from the shofar. Other things can be generally the right thing, but the shofar has to be pure. Yeah. So that's basically the question. So when it comes to the virtual minion, it doesn't seem, in my opinion, it doesn't look like you can add somebody on the other side of the computer screen to help out the struggling minion. But it's possible that there's a machlokas about whether the people on the other side of the computer screen, the person at home watching the minyan take place in shul, whether he could answer the davar shebekdusha, whether he can answer amen, and all of those other halachos. So that's the subject to this disagreement, this debate amongst these modern day poskim. Thank you again.